Kick off summer with Memorial Day savings at Lowe's. Right now, get five Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. Plus, get up to 40% off select major appliances and save an extra $50 on every $500 you spend on select major appliances $396 or more. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/28. Mulch offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things, like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need when you need them at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.
If your brain is at full capacity with to-dos, birthdays, dinner plans, meet Skylight Calendar. It syncs your entire family's schedule onto a sleek digital display, so you focus on important things, like where you left your coffee. Right now, Skylight is offering our listeners $30 off their 15-inch calendars by going to skylightcal.com/talk. Go to skylightcal.com/talk for $30 off your 15-inch calendar. That's skylightcal.com/talk.
This is continuing coverage of United States versus Sean Diddy Combs from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
You could hear a pin drop when Cassie Ventura pointed at the photo in court. Her voice didn't shake, no hesitation. Just three words that changed everything. That's Jonathan Oddie. She didn't look away. She didn't stumble. She confirmed under oath that Oddie, the same man once written off as a raving lunatic after storming Trump's Doral Resort in 2018, had in fact been one of the male escorts Diddy hired to perform sex acts on her during what she described as years of forced freak-offs. It was one of those courtroom moments that doesn't need dramatizing, no music, no gavel slamming, just the weight of truth suddenly feeling heavier than the lies that had buried it. And just like that, Oddie's wild tale, dismissed for years as delusional rambling, landed squarely in the center of a federal sex trafficking trial against one of the most powerful men in hip-hop history. Cassie, who spent over a decade by Diddy's side, painted a chilling picture of their relationship. This wasn't some messy celebrity breakup. What she described was a system of control that involved violence, surveillance, humiliation, and a rotating cast of sex workers, most of them men, allegedly coerced into acts that were recorded, cataloged, and used as leverage. And one of those men was Jonathan Oddie. Back in 2018, if you'd told someone that name in connection with Diddy, they'd have probably laughed or shrugged and said, "Wait, wasn't he the guy who shot up the Trump Hotel in Miami?" He was. But he was also a stripper, an adult film performer, and, watchers, as of 2013, one of the men allegedly recruited by Combs to participate in these sex parties. At the time of his arrest, Oddie made a statement to police that, on its face, sounded unhinged. He claimed that Sean Diddy Combs had paid him to have sex with Cassie Ventura. He said Diddy would watch, sometimes masturbate, sometimes direct. He called himself a sex slave, said he was manipulated and threatened, and mentioned a settlement. No one took it seriously. His story was sandwiched between headlines about MAGA rants and erratic behavior. The media treated it like a bizarre side note in an already strange case, but here's the thing. Every major piece of Oddie's story is now being corroborated. Let's start with the freak-offs. Cassie testified that Diddy forced her to participate in multi-day sex events involving male escorts, often under the influence of drugs. She said she wasn't allowed to say no. She said Diddy filmed everything. Audie had said the exact same thing years ago, that he had multiple encounters with Cassie, that Diddy orchestrated every detail, and that the entire thing was documented on video. Then came the moment in court that pulled a thread straight through time, the infamous 2013 sex tape. Cassie was asked about a recording, one she believed had been made during one of those freak-off encounters in Miami, specifically the one involving Audie. She admitted she thought he had recorded it. And to drive the point home, the defense played a recording of Cassie herself, threatening a DJ she believed had possession of the tape. "If you have it, pull it up, or I will kill you. And he will kill you again," she can be heard saying, her voice tight with rage. "If you don't show me, I will cut you up." Cassie didn't deny it was her voice. She owned it. She said she was desperate, terrified the tape would get out. That moment mattered. Because for years, people rolled their eyes at Audie's claim that a sex tape existed, that he had recorded it, that it was why Diddy wanted him silenced. Now, in a federal courtroom, Cassie confirmed that very tape existed and that Audie was the one she believed had made it. Didn't stop there. A few days before Cassie took the stand, another piece of the puzzle surfaced, a document that turned decades of speculation into something tangible. The Daily Mail published what it said was a copy of a non-disclosure agreement signed in July of 2014 between Sean Combs and Jonathan Audie. It wasn't vague. It wasn't speculative. It included signatures. Audie had always claimed that he was paid hush money, that Diddy offered him $5 million in exchange for the tape and his silence. Now he had paper to back that up. The timing matched everything, and Audie's ex-wife had already told reporters that something shifted in the summer of 2014. Audie suddenly had money, a lot of it. He filed for divorce out of the blue, bought real estate, 5 properties, cash. When she was asked years later what she thought sparked that change, her response was blunt. "I think he got paid off." In court, prosecutors leaned into all of this. They didn't treat Audie like a punchline. They didn't pretend his past didn't exist. They treated him like a witness, even from behind bars, whose experience mapped directly onto the charges they were pursuing against Combs. And they didn't need Audie on the stand to make that point. Cassie made it for them. She wasn't there to defend Audie, but in telling her own story, she validated his. She confirmed he had been one of the men Diddy brought into her life under abusive circumstances. She confirmed that she feared a recording involving him. She confirmed that Diddy had the power to force people into silence or to pay them off. Audie, the man once branded a delusional gunman with a messiah complex, suddenly became something else entirely. The first person to publicly describe in full detail the same pattern of abuse that Cassie and dozens of others would later come forward to confirm. What's more, Diddy's own legal team handed Audie even more credibility in the courtroom. During cross-examination, defense attorneys tried to weaponize Audie's past against Cassie, bringing up her threats about the tape, trying to paint her as unstable or complicit. But in doing so, they implicitly confirmed the thing they most needed jurors to doubt, that the video existed, that Audie existed in this story, and that Diddy had reason to fear exposure. Audie's voice from that 2018 police interrogation, the one everyone laughed off, now reads like a page out of a deposition. "I had sex with Cassie and Sean," he said. "Basically, he would masturbate and tell me what to do to Cassie. I was like a sex slave. For them, that's what I was." Back then, people rolled their eyes. Today, prosecutors are building a case around that same scenario, using Cassie's testimony, corroborating recordings, and now a written NDA to show this wasn't a one-off. It was a pattern. Audie never took the stand. He didn't need to. The trial has spoken for him. His name went from footnote to headline, and not because he said something new, but because, in hindsight, what he said was consistent, detailed, verifiable. That's the part that really sticks. Audie's claims didn't change. The world did. And now that the courtroom has caught up, the next question becomes how this story started in the first place. How a man went from a sex worker in Miami to the center of a multi-million-dollar cover-up. How the settlement unfolded. how the threats escalated, and how even after being paid off, he couldn't keep the truth buried forever. Because while the courtroom may be quiet now, the echoes of that silence and that pause when Cassie pointed and said, "That's Jonathan Oddie," are still ringing. Before the sex scandal headlines, before the police interrogation footage went viral, before the federal charges, Jonathan Oddie was just a guy in Miami with a dancer's body, a porn alias, and a knack for landing in rooms he probably shouldn't have been in. That's where this all really begins. Not in a courtroom, not in a Trump hotel lobby filled with gunfire, but years earlier on the private waterfront patios of Miami's elite, where cash, cocaine, and control swirl together like smoke in a backlit lounge. And at the center of it all, allegedly, was Sean Diddy Combs. In 2013, Jonathan Oddie wasn't famous, not even internet famous. He was a South Florida stripper and occasional adult film actor with just enough charisma and abs to get invited to the right parties. According to multiple sources close to the case, that's where he was first introduced to Combs, at a private gathering on Star Island, a man-made fortress of wealth just off the Miami coast where celebrities vacation, party, and vanish from accountability. Oddie would later tell police that Combs had taken a liking to him, not romantically, strategically. Diddy, according to Oddie's statements, was looking for a certain type of performer, someone he could plug into a recurring fantasy he orchestrated for his then-girlfriend Cassie Ventura. These events, later referred to by multiple witnesses as freak-offs, were part porn set, part power trip, and part psychological breakdown. And Diddy was the director, and Oddie claimed that over the course of 2013, he was flown or invited to private locations where he was asked to perform sex acts on Cassie while Diddy watched, sometimes filmed, and always controlled the scene. Oddie didn't describe these as orgies or consensual parties. He described them as ordered performances at Diddy's command. Cassie, according to both Oddie's later account and Cassie's own testimony years later, was not calling the shots. She was the one being acted upon. Oddie estimated that he had around 15 encounters with Cassie during this time. And whether you believe that number or not, at least one of those encounters, he said, was recorded, not by Diddy, but by Oddie himself. That's where the whole thing shifted. In one of the 2013 sessions, Oddie allegedly recorded the encounter with his phone either as leverage or documentation. He didn't publicize it. He didn't send it to TMZ. But Cassie suspected something. In her 2025 testimony, she admitted that she believed Oddie had taped them. And that suspicion set off what can only be described as a manhunt. Not for Oddie, but for the footage. In an audio recording entered into evidence during the 2025 trial, Cassie is heard confronting a DJ she thought might have seen the video. Her voice is controlled but unmistakably violent. "If you have it, pull it up or I will kill you," she says. "And he will kill you again." She's referring to Diddy. "If you don't show me, I will cut you up." These aren't metaphors. She meant every word. And when asked about the recording on the stand, she owned it. That was her. That was real. That was how high the stakes had become over one missing sex tape. It was in that chaos that, according to Oddie, a deal was struck. He says he was approached, directly or indirectly, and offered a substantial sum in exchange for two things, the video and his silence. On July 9th, 2014, a document surfaced that now sits at the center of one of the biggest sex trafficking cases in the country. It's a non-disclosure agreement reportedly signed by both Sean Combs and Jonathan Oddie, confirming a payout in exchange for confidentiality, the amount $5 million. The reason unstated, but heavily implied. The NDA didn't stay buried. In 2025, media outlets obtained and published the document, and legal experts verified the signatures and timeline. What happened immediately after that signing added more fuel to the fire. Oddie's then-wife, Tonya Troutwine, recalled that something changed instantly in her husband. One minute they were struggling financially, with Oddie earning a few thousand dollars a month. The next, he wanted a divorce, quickly. "Oddie," she said, pushed it through with urgency, and once the ink was dry, he started buying. Not one house, not two, five, all in cash, all in the span of about 60 days. The paper trail matched the date of the NDA to the letter. Troutwine told reporters later that it didn't make sense to her at the time, but now looking back, she said, "I think he got paid off. I think he left me so I couldn't claim any of it." The timeline was impossible to ignore. The real estate, the sudden silence, the behavior shift, but the money didn't buy peace. Audie started spiraling. Friends noticed paranoia. He spoke about being followed, about people watching him, about something bigger than he could name. Whether that was guilt, fear, or something more clinical, no one could say. But the man who once partied in the inner circles of Miami's elite now seemed like he was unraveling. And then in May of 2018, he snapped. Audie entered the Trump National Doral Miami Resort with a flag draped over his shoulders, ranting about government corruption and moral decay. He pulled a firearm, fired shots into the ceiling, set off chaos. Police responded within minutes, and in the shootout that followed, Audie was wounded, subdued, and taken into custody. That moment made national news. Most headlines focused on the Trump connection, a potential assassination attempt, a politically motivated breakdown. But buried in the reports was something else, something the public and the media dismissed almost immediately. In his police interrogation, Audie began talking, and not about Trump. He said he had once been a sex slave for Sean Combs and Cassie Ventura, that he'd been used in bizarre sex rituals filmed without consent and then paid to disappear, that he'd signed a deal, handed over evidence, and been forced into silence, that he feared for his life, that they had threatened him. Police didn't follow up. Reporters scoffed. Delusional, some said. Clearly mentally unstable, others wrote. The idea that one of the most powerful figures in music would recruit a porn actor and strip club regular to act out his darkest fantasies and then pay millions to erase the record, says Hunt, was too absurd to take seriously. Audie's claims were filed away as part of the madness, a sideshow to the real crime, the resort shooting. But he never changed his story. He said the same things in 2018 that Cassie would later say under oath in 2025, that Diddy orchestrated these sessions, that Cassie was not a willing participant, that the sex was recorded, that a deal was made, that a payout silenced it all. And when the NDA surfaced years later, everything clicked. It wasn't just that Audie was right. It was that he had been right for years, and no one had wanted to hear it. There's a discomfort in that. A man who fired a gun in a hotel lobby, who once ranted about the government and sounded half mad, turned out to be the first person to blow the whistle on something real. He just didn't look like the kind of person we trust. He didn't wear a suit. He didn't have a PR team. He had tattoos and an adult film past. And when he spoke, we all tuned him out. That's not just about Audie. That's about us. He may never testify in this case. He may never walk free. But the story he told, the one we laughed off in 2018, now sits at the center of a federal prosecution. And the man at the heart of it, once dismissed as a madman, is finally being heard.
In a world where the darkest secrets lie just beneath the surface.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence says otherwise.
Where hidden killers roam unnoticed in the shadows.
I think you would definitely be looking at a blend of toxic, very bad narcissistic personality traits, and they will be vengeful and possibly resort to violence.
Join Tony Bruschi as he uncovers the truth behind the most chilling cases.
They said it was an accident, but the evidence clearly says otherwise.
Each episode, we dig deep into the minds of those who commit the unthinkable.
To your point on narcissism, he thinks in his own mind how witty he is.
Yeah.
But he lost that jury. I was done with him in 2 minutes.
From unsolved mysteries to infamous crimes.
Geez, you've just talked about how you've taught yourself how to do everything under the sun. I bet you did a YouTube video, how to best kill somebody with a knife.
Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi takes you where few dare to go.
How does someone with such a dark secret go unnoticed for so long?
With multiple new episodes every single day.
We're not just telling stories, we're seeking justice.
Listen now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.